Buenas and welcome to the Dear Gorgeous podcast. We're your hosts, Akina and Jelena, two Micronesian and Asian women from the beautiful island of Guangdong. And we're on a mission to share the stories of inspirational Asian and Pacific Islander women from around the world.
Hello now.
All right, we're back.
Episode 25.
Yes. Yeah.
We are officially here. The end of season one.
Mm.
Woo, what a ride. Are you tired of me yet?
Sometimes.
Lies.
Yeah,
lies.
Whatever. Yeah, whatever.
So this last G&E session, let's reflect a little bit. Some reflection.
Mm-hmm. Well,
look at me.
You might
that's what came up.
You see who I really am
and what we produce. 25 episodes.
What are they setting up over there?
Japanese festival.
Oh, you.
That's
were
this weekend.
Just literally talking about
mm-hmm.
that.
See, she doesn't even listen to me, guys. All right.
How is it possible that my listening skills have gotten worse?
I think you just learned
after
how
recording
to
25 conversations.
I think you just learned to like block out certain voices, also known as mine.
I know, it's like, oh, that's Akina talking again.
Like, yeah. Yeah. So we started end of April.
Yes.
And it is officially November, mid-November.
Mm-hmm.
What a ride.
Yeah. It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Been,
how do you think? Well, before we get into that, we opened up our Instagram and Facebook to questions that maybe you guys have about our process or anything DG related or life related, and we want to address some of those questions on this episode.
Yeah,
and dedicate this specific episode to you guys. This would not have been possible without all of you guys just tuning in, listening,
giving us feedback,
engaging.
It's been cool. It's I mean, off the top of my head, like, it's pretty cool how our purpose for even doing this has changed.
Oh yeah,
because I remember being in this place, like, when we first started recording, just feeling kind of not necessarily lost, but just really wanting to define identity more for myself, and like midway through, maybe more than midway through, just realized it wasn't really about that.
Ooh.
Like, it was, but I was basically like talking to all these women trying to get some sort of validation for, like, or permission to, like, be able to define my own identity. And I feel like kind of realized that we can define our own identity, and we have every right to do that. We have every right to stand by our definition.
And at what point did you start realizing this change?
I think it was, like, already sort of starting to, like, midway through was already sort of open to feeling that way. Oh my God, that music. Okay.
Oh my God, we're getting nowhere.
Okay, no, honestly, okay, so, yeah, midway through, but then, like, Lola's episode really, like, kick my ass a little bit.
Dude, struck a chord.
I was like, mm-hmm. Like, you're right. Like, people are always going to want to question who you are. And the need, for me, it was like, I was in this new space, even though I'm from here and I'm indigenous, quote unquote, to here, I'm Chamorro woman. I felt insecure about claiming my own Chamorro identity. And in recording all of this, and going through the motions with you and the women that were on the podcast, I realized, like, why did I need anyone to tell me, like, whether or not I was Chamorro? Eh.
What a breakthrough. Holy moly.
Thanks, Dr. Kina.
In this episode, we are going to unpack Jelena's questions about identity.
Mm. This was one of the questions that you got, though, was like, how did we evolve, right?
Oh, yeah. This was a question submitted by the lovely Stephanie.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was kind of curious to know how we've evolved from day one till now.
I think that was like a huge thing for me.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of gatekeepers out there, you know what I mean? And there's, and I don't think that anyone is like willingly a gatekeeper because they want to be like difficult for others or whatever. But I think that because so many of us are in the middle of trying to figure out our identities or define identity or define what it means to be Chamorro or whatever, we end up being super harsh with others.
Yeah.
And I found myself on the receiving end of some of that harshness a couple of times, and I took it personal when it really had nothing to do with me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm sure that I've been harsh with other people as well, in my own way.
It's all reflecting.
Yeah. What about you?
Ooh. Owning your story. Yeah. I think after interviewing so many amazing women just in this season alone, I felt like they helped me form my own foundation, because I'm straight up, like, honest, like, I did not have really high self-confidence in the beginning of this journey, or actually beginning of this year. I felt like my self-confidence and my faith in myself was just non-existent.
Mm.
And listening to all these stories about their journeys, their ups and downs, taught me that you own your story.
Right.
And to have confidence in it, because you are one of a kind and there's no one like you.
Right.
And in some way, I kind of like took pieces of them and I felt as if I built a foundation within myself, you know?
Mm. Ooh, and I like that.
Yeah, and I've always been drawn to community and I've always been drawn to people. So it makes sense to take pieces of others and then mold it with my own mixture of soil and
it's
ground.
It's almost like you're taking pieces of everyone else's interpretation of humanity and sort of like...
Yeah.
Yeah, and I like that.
Kind of better understanding about myself. And from here on, it's just about building that house. Yeah.
Ooh, I love, you've been bringing up that analogy throughout the season of like building your own house or creating that house.
Within yourself.
Yes. Yeah.
And that was like super random. Yeah. Dude, wow. So what other questions have you received?
Let's see. Wait, so we'll pause real quick before we move on to this question part. I had a question for you, because I feel like we kind of touched on it in the midway check-in.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that we really talked about it in this sense. Because I think, so my question is basically like, what were some insecurities you had about the actual show, about like producing the show, that you have overcome, or maybe you haven't yet, but it's something that's been sort of evolving through time. I think, like, in the midway episode, we talked about, like, reservations, like, with each other.
Yeah.
But, like, was there, like, an insecurity that you had in regards to, like, making content and putting it out?
Absolutely. I just had this conversation with a friend yesterday, actually, about just being present on social media. And I think in the beginning of the show, we were very self-conscious of how we came across during our first recording.
Yeah.
I don't know how many times we've recorded like our intros, our outros, even the episode itself. So I think I just like let go and just let myself be me on these episodes.
Right.
For crying out loud, I said, I am where my feet stands.
Like, I am where my feet stands. I don't. Wait, there's like little things that we've said throughout the season where we're like, I don't want people to think that I don't know how to say that word.
I was like, I know that's grammatically incorrect. But you know, I think what helped is that there's two of us, so we talk each other out of our
own heads.
Yeah, basically.
For sure.
We are worst critics.
Yeah.
A lot of things that you catch about yourself, I never even caught, and vice versa. And we keep each other like grounded. You know, we'll fix things that need to be fixed, but why stress over the little things?
Yeah.
You know. Obviously, people knew what I meant.
Right.
But, you know, I think getting over that and just letting that go and just remember what the bigger picture is here, and that's to share our conversations.
Yeah.
How about you?
Dude, totally. Like, sharing conversations. I think for me, it was feeling like if we were to talk about something, then we needed to be experts on the topic.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Yes.
And I didn't ever like want to mislead anyone with the things that we were talking about or the things that we might mention. But then I realized like we didn't start this to enlighten people. Like we started it for ourselves, like, you know, so that like we can actually learn something and almost like share our growth with other people, you know?
Yeah.
And, like I realize, like with every topic that we have, it's more so used. Our conversations were, for me, I'm hoping our conversations are used to just inspire people to actually think critically about certain topics, mm-hmm. and then have their own conversations with people that they care about, or with somebody I don't know in line with in the DMV next to them. I don't know.
So specific.
No, but like you know, encouraging people to actually start exploring things in different ways, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that culturally too, like for Chamorros, I feel like we've been doing that for so long. Like I went to the book launch that you worked with Yoji Press yesterday.
Chamorro Legends.
For the Chamorro Legends. And there was such an emphasis on the art of storytelling for us. And we've talked about it periodically. And I think that's the magic behind sharing conversations and stories and talking about things. And because we're like, I mean, at the end of the day, that's like really all we have is our shared human experiences and how we all perceive them.
I agree.
So no, yeah, you know,
storytelling.
Getting over that insecurity of like not being an expert.
No,
imposter syndrome.
That's a really good point.
Yeah.
Such a good point.
Okay. Hold on, let me pull up some of the questions.
Next question. Oh, I just have a random question.
Yeah.
What? Has anyone brought up the podcast to you? Or like through stories from other people and you completely don't know that person?
Let me see.
Or like an interesting not upbringings.
I feel like it's come up in conversation with people that I just would never expect would listen.
Yeah.
Like running into somebody and having not seen them for a while and been like, oh my gosh, I listen to your podcast when sometimes it really, you know.
Yeah.
Really puts me in a good mood. When that's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Why? What about you? I know.
I really want to share this story.
I don't want to say it out loud, but like,
so
just seeing like, never mind.
Why?
No, just like, by the way, like if you guys listen to this podcast on Apple, like, you know, like, you could leave us a review, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But definitely, like, one of the weirdest parts was, like, looking at our reviews and seeing, like,
our reviews
and being like,
Interesting. I did not know, yeah.
Definitely don't talk to this person anymore.
Yeah. So, I had lunch with my friend today, who also happens to be my ex-boyfriend.
Always keeping her friends.
Yeah. So my ex and I are really good friends. So his coworker came up to him randomly. I don't know this coworker. came up to him and goes, yo, have you listened to your ex-girlfriend's podcast about exes? And I was like, what? And it's like, yeah, this coworker literally went up to him and was like, yeah, did you hear this episode that your ex-girlfriend like produced on her podcast? And she was talking about her like ex-boyfriends and stuff like that. And that's a serial monogamy episode.
Those are definitely like one of the moments where you realize you're like, oh yeah, I put content out and people can listen to it if yeah. they want to.
And I think I just had this mini freak out. I was like, holy moly, you know, a lot of my personal life is out there. But, you know, I feel like the things I do share on this podcast are things I want to share.
Like panic attacks where you're like,
I got a panic.
You like wake up in the morning and you're like, there's 25 episodes of me socking my head off.
Yeah. I was like halfway eating through a lumpia. Fried lumpia. When he told me, I was like, what? But the great thing about it is he's super supportive. And he's like, dude, you know, you're doing amazing work. So, yeah. But I just thought that was such a interesting coincidence.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, it was really cool. It was really cool.
But it's really interesting if you don't know that other person. Because like I said earlier, it kind of sounds like he was like, talking about you in terms of you being his ex-girlfriend.
Yeah. No, it was in a good way. I asked him, I was like, did he say anything? He's like, no, dude, he just told me to listen to an episode. He said it was good. So I was like, oh, okay. I'm glad that we got that little feedback.
No, we've been getting really good feedback, actually, from people. Every once in a while, we'll receive a really nice DM. Yay. And a few of you guys responded to our... to us putting out feelers for questions that you guys might have for this episode. So let's go to that.
Yeah, I haven't read these yet.
Huh?
I don't know. I haven't read through these questions.
Yeah, let's just get started.
Let's do it.
Okay, so... okay, we're not going to read that one. Okay. Would you try this? Yes, I would not. Okay. Craziest thing you've done this year?
Start this podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Say yes to Aquino when she was asked to go and have coffee.
Yes.
What's some other crazy shit you've done?
This year?
Yeah.
Ooh. I'll have to think about this a little bit. I feel like I haven't been as spontaneous this year as I was last year. I was a little bit more mellow this year.
Yeah, I feel like I'm just like a boring 30-year-old right now. What's the craziest? I don't know, like probably not sleep for 20 hours.
Yeah.
Just stayed up for way too long and then crashed for 3 days straight. That's the craziest thing I've done. Anyways.
Yeah, nothing ever comes to mind. Wow, I lived a very mellow 2019.
Let's see. If you could invent any one thing, what would it be and slash do?
I just did 1 hour ago. So so I just made a drink, guys, at Tower London. It's whiskey or vodka, alcohol of choice. Mm. Some citrusy, lime or lemon. A splash of sriracha, a drizzle of honey, and then you just stick your straw in, and then it'll just like make this delicious candy.
You forgot
candy,
the main ingredient.
Which is pickle juice.
Yes.
It's a pickle,
I feel like she put other
whiskey.
Something else. She put like sweet and sour in it or something, I feel like.
I don't know. But it's like honey, pickle juice, whiskey, lime or lemon, and... What did you add?
I love how innovative you are. Like, if you could invent anything, it's a cocktail.
It's a cocktail. Yeah. I have a bad, bad track history with knowing my alcohol, so. What would you invent?
I think it would be, like, something that I could, like, hold on my person at all times that will record, like, certain frequencies from other people. And if it reaches, like, a certain frequency, like, it'll, you know what I mean? Like, sound an alarm and it'll be like, this person doesn't resonate with you.
Oh.
Stay the fuck away.
With that soundtrack, right? With that soundtrack.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That'd be dope. Whoa. Yeah. I feel like you put thought into this.
No, I just thought about it right now. Okay. That's a nice question. Let's see. What happened on the best day of your life so far to make it so?
Ooh, wow. Best day of my life. You go first.
That is... That is a tough one to think about.
One of the best days. What's a very memorable day, though?
One of the best days of my life. I want to say I've had a lot of best days of my life.
Yeah.
Especially, like, with the magic that we just finished.
Yes.
Oh, my God, though. I'm so sorry. I never did day 28. Like, I did the exercise, but I didn't do the 10.
Shame on you.
I know.
Take it back 2 weeks.
I know. But anyways, but, like, one of the things that we had to do at the end of the day was, like, like, right before you go to sleep is you had to talk about the best thing that happened to you that day.
Okay.
Which I felt was, like, really transformational.
Yeah.
But let's see. I don't know. For some reason, I'm thinking about this one day that I was in yoga teacher training.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, like, not, you know, like, it wasn't, like, a abnormal day compared to the rest of the program. It was just, like, maybe a weekend or maybe midweek, and I was, like, halfway through the day, and we were in flow class, and our teacher was, like, kicking our ass. Like, we were just, like, and it was so funny because, like, when we first started, we wanted to all be very, like, what's the word? Modest. Mm-hmm. So, like, none of us, you know, like, back in California, you would just, like, wear your sports bra and your yoga pants and sweat it out, whatever.
Yeah.
Not be. But for some reason, like, all of us were just too afraid to, like, show our shoulders or our bellies or whatever. So we're all wearing, like, shirts, like, long sleeve, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Just, like, hella covered up. But it was, like, 104 degrees in in our flow room, no AC. The kitchen was right next door, so it got even hotter. And I remember, like, just getting our asses kicked this one day. And then it started raining really loud. Like, just, like,
wow.
You could hear, because the ceiling was, like, tin. And you could just hear, like, this loud-ass rain. And so we had to stop the class because we couldn't hear our teacher anymore give us direction. And we looked out the window, and the sun was setting, so, like, it was like a, like, painting. It was like the Himalayas and then the fucking Ganges River, which is, like, one of the holiest rivers in India, just, like, flowing straight through right outside of our window, and the sun setting right above, like, where the river happened to, like, flow right through the mountains.
So picturesque.
It was like a sunset, and it was just, like, I remember being like, damn, like, this is the first time that I felt like I wasn't struggling with, like, a bout of depression. I was sober. I was doing something that I felt like I really wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everything felt, like, completely aligned. I just remember feeling like that.
Aligned.
That was, like,
moment.
The first time that I've ever felt like that in my whole life.
Wow.
So that was probably one of the best days of my life.
Wow. Super transformational.
Super transformational.
Super transformational.
Oh. What about you?
The first thing that comes up is when I graduated college. So my dad flew out to see me in San Francisco. And so it was like, he was there for like a week during my graduation ceremony period, whatever. So I was staying with him at his hotel in, I forget where it was, but it was right next to IHOP. And granted, my dad was like jet lagged. So we're like two twin beds, right? So I'm sleeping in one bed. Then all of a sudden, I feel him like sit next to me. He goes, "Hey, let's go get breakfast." So I was like, "Dad, what time is it?" Because I already knew it. Like, it was still dark. The sun was up. I was like, "Dad, what time is it?" He goes, "It's 6 a.m. I flip over to look. It's 4 a.m. I was like, "Dad, it's 4 a.m.
You guys could have went to Pinecrest.
I was like, "No, I'm going to go back to sleep." And so my dad literally just sat on my dip bag. He goes, okay, I'll just, you know, I'll just sit here
and watch
you. I'll just wait. And my dad does the scene where he just like sits there and just like waits and like fiddles with his thumbs and just like looks at the ceiling. Like, it's okay, I'll just wait until you're ready to go. So I was like, oh, fine. Got up four in the morning, went to IHOP downstairs. And that was like me and my dad's thing. Like, we would always get breakfast together and we'll always talk like universe. We'll always talk like deep life stuff. Like, that was our thing. So I think that was one of my best days because I was so mad that I was up at four, but quickly got over that.
Because you guys had a good time.
Yeah. Aww. Totally worth it. And then we went out and about the city. Yeah. And I was showing him like all the places I used to like go visit, where I worked. And while we're hopping like on and off the Muni, he would look at me and he goes, man, you're like a rat. Like, you know your way around the city. I was like, wow, Dad.
I think you could have compared me to something else.
Oh, yeah, the way he said, like,
you know. There are other creatures that know their way around the city.
Straight up, like, you know, you remind me of? I'm like, what? He's like, you remind me of, like, a rat. Thanks, Dad. But, yeah, I think those were, like, the best days of my life. It was, like, when he was out there to see me.
Yeah, and you were able to share that life with him.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
And because they dropped me off to college. So not knowing where anything's at, trying to figure out the Muni, to picking me up or, you know,
yeah,
going there when I graduated, me basically just being an adult. Yeah. I think those were really great days.
Sounds like it. Okay, let's see what's next. Would you rather be good at learning languages or learning musical instruments?
Ooh. Ooh. Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah. Mm. I feel like learning musical instruments or just learning music theory in general is like learning a language.
Oh, yeah.
So I feel like if you were really good at learning languages, you would be good at learning music theory. But if I had to choose... Ooh, I don't know. Because, like, for me, like, I feel like I want to pick the languages.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like being able to communicate with people is important. But then I also feel like music transcends language as well. So,
yeah, both really good. I think I want to learn music.
I think I'm leaning towards language.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why music?
Music is like the one thing I was never able to pick up naturally. Like, it was so hard for me to learn the piano. I didn't really understand the concept of like playing a guitar. And it was like one area that I just couldn't thrive in.
Mm.
And I saw it bring so much therapy and release and, you know, like relaxation to people who knew how to play instruments. And also, like, you know, it boosts your confidence, of course,
right,
to learn the skill. But I just want to be that badass on the piano where I just hear a song and like, oh, I got it. You know. I had a friend like that. She was such a natural.
I really only know one person on island that could do that.
Yeah.
Oh, and he's been playing piano for a very,
very long time.
It's like the piano is like another one of his limbs.
Yeah.
That's how much he knows his way around it.
Why languages? Well, you said two.
I just, for me, it's like, I'm obsessed with like the philosophy behind languages and like what can you learn about a group of people if you know the language that they communicate in? Yeah. That's pretty much,
yeah.
I feel, and I, you know, when I was younger, I heard a lot about like, people who know multiple languages have, like, can access... I don't really know how to word this correctly, like, in a scientific way, but I've heard that people who speak multiple languages have just, like, a larger access to, like, I don't know, like, parts of the brain, or maybe they just, like, have a wider understanding of things, which would make sense, because if you understand a language, you're basically understanding that world that that language lives in.
Yeah.
And not knowing how to speak languages, and you go to a country where you don't speak the main language, mm-hmm. you're just, you're completely missing out on yeah. that world, you know? And I brought this, I was talking to, you know, I love this, I think I talked about this before in another episode, or maybe with Master Anum, I don't remember. But, like, my Chamorro teacher, Ken, he, like, talks about, like, you know, like, the etymology of Gefpakku, right? Like, mm-hmm. you have beauty,
oh,
you
yeah,
have the word beautiful, right, in English, and then there's, like, the definition of beautiful that we are raised yeah. to have, and it's all these standards of beauty, which have all these underlying layers of, like, consumption, you know, they're all mm-hmm. based on consumption, so... Standards of beauty are sort of presented to you in ways that are to leave you not being satisfied with your own beauty,
mm.
I think. But then with Chamorros, like, we have Gefpakku, and you, like, actually break down the meaning of what Gefpakku is, which is, like, very now.
Yeah.
So, like, you can assume or you can really think about, like, what is the definition of beauty from a Chamorro standpoint, you know, if you're really using that word wholeheartedly, meaning what it means,
yeah.
when you call something beautiful, you're also acknowledging that something beautiful just is present, something that's in front yeah. of you. So, like, all of those, like, philosophical concepts, you know,
yeah.
that we're missing by not knowing different languages is
no, that
interesting
makes sense.
To me.
There's many, many times where I would be hanging out with my Japanese friends, and there's just some things we're unable to translate because there's no way that that English translation could do that emotion. It's kind of like an emotion
yeah.
of feeling justice.
Yeah.
And it's off, and the first thing that comes to mind is, like, love, right? So there's a word in Japanese, which is love, which is, like, ai. Ai means love. So a lot of people...
Sorry, say it one more time.
Ai.
Ai.
Yeah, so a lot of people are like, oh, how do you say I love you? So I was like, oh, 愛してる. But a lot of people, no one really uses that, I think. When you watch, like, movies, dramas, when people confess, like, their feelings, you say the English translation, it says I love you, but they'll usually say 好きです. 好き means like. So already there's such a depth in the definition of love in Western society and Eastern society.
Wow.
And if you look at even public displays of affection, is not as common in Asia as it is in Western cultures.
Right.
You know, so that already shows the shift and the depths and
That's
the
really
levels of intimacy.
I've seen that, like, with what Eastern cultures, if we're just talking about, like, Chamorro and... Well, actually, I grew up in a very affectionate family. But, like, okay, so we're talking about, like, Japanese culture.
Yeah.
I remember you and Manami talking about this. Or even... Jilly,
yeah.
How, like, in Asian culture, PDA or physical affection is not
a
thing.
Common.
But, like, your mm-hmm. definition of love is so deep, and, like,
mm.
it's defined in all of these other ways. You know,
yeah.
it reminds me of what's that movie that came out? Is it called The Farewell?
Yes.
No. Is it okay?
With Awkwafina.
Yes. And she goes back to go
yeah.
visit her grandma.
Yeah.
And it's actually, like, a customary thing in China where, like, if somebody is dying, like, right?
Yeah.
And they, the family has every right to find out, like, a diagnosis and basically hide it from the person who's dying.
Wow.
It's like, it's just part of their culture to, like,
yeah.
to not tell them because they feel like, well, from the movie, what they explain is, like, it's like an obligation, you know? It's like, as a family, you hold the pain and the fear of dying for this person, and you allow them to keep living as they would.
Yeah.
And I just found that so interesting because, like, in Asian cultures, again,
yeah.
like, public display of affection is very... It's not the same, but
yeah.
then that's such a deep action of love to, like, assume a burden like that for somebody.
No, absolutely. Absolutely.
In the West, it's like,
yeah,
we value PDA, but then our, are we in an airport right now? Okay. And we, but
totally
our, yeah, your gate is closing. But yeah, like in the West, it's like we love PDA, we love physical contact, but our definitions of love tend to be a little bit more shallow, I think.
Mm.
I find that ironic.
Ooh, I think with Eastern cultures or Asian cultures, it's more in line of duty. And their love is interwoven in their roles that they have to play within that family. And also basically duty. Duty as a daughter, duty as a mother, you know. But in Western culture, I think when we think love, the first thing that comes to mind is romantic love. But in Asian cultures, it's the first thing that comes to mind when love is more family. Like, you know, family role dynamics. And I see that a lot in my mom.
Family and duty and love are all sort of within the same space.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah. I would say that is really similar to Chamorro culture as well.
Yeah, Chamorro culture is very big on respect.
On respect, and I think it's because we value community. Like, we value more connection and how do we all function well as a group. We do much better as a group than individually, I think. Not that we can't do well individually, but I think that we value team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah. Good talk.
Wow. Okay. Well, okay. What's the next question? What makes you sad but happy at the same time?
Ooh. 911, bro. Did you watch 911? When Hulu only releases, like, one episode at a time, like, I'm happy to watch it, but I'm sad I have to wait till next week.
I don't know. If we're talking TV shows, I've never heard of 911.
Did you not see my backdrop? Yes, guys. My phone background.
I'm like, what are you talking about?
911 is a really good show. It's about, story about the LA Fire Department.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, super good. Anyways, yes, happy and sad at the same time.
I mean, we're talking TV shows. Definitely This Is Us.
Oof.
Shit makes me cry.
Oof.
Books.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Any book that, like, reels me in and then ends, I'm like, why did you have to end? Wait, okay, real life, though.
Oof, airports.
Oh my God, airports, that's a good one.
Because when you arrive, you're arriving to like a new adventure.
Yeah.
When you leave, you already know like.
Either saying hello or you're saying goodbye.
Yeah.
Ooh. So
there's like this really. I don't know. Have you been to Narita Airport?
The what?
Narita Airport in Japan.
Yes, I have.
Do you remember that glass window where people could watch their family members go down the escalator to customs or immigration? So basically you go through security, right?
Uh-huh.
So when you go through security and you walk out of security, you walk to the right side and there's an escalator that goes down.
Oh.
But the escalator is separated from the main terminal with this like glass window. So family members could stand on the glass window and watch their loved ones leave. Dramatic as fuck, but
wait, do you do that? Because my family's always done that too. We've always waited until somebody has gone through TSA, and then we've always done that last wave, like on the other side.
But this is like an actual escalator going down in slow motion, like the damn movies. Like you know that scene,
like all of the '90s, like rom com,
or like you know when Rose goes down in like the ship, and then she sees Jack up there. That's basically like what it's like. So my mom and I, this is when I was in college. My mom and I went to Japan at the same time to see my grandma. And both of our flights were later at night. I was going back to SF. She was going back to Guam. So my flight was first. So I went through customs, through security, whatever. And right when I was going down the escalator, my grown-ass adult self was bawling and crying because I was...
I'm a crybaby at airports, too. I will cry.
Yes.
No shame.
Airports.
Let it out, man. Let it out. That's one of the Doantes that I've worked with before. She'll say, that's okay because that's the medicine. You cry, okay? That's the medicine. wow. Yeah. Actually, look, I gotta agree with you on that one. Airports. Airports are definitely what makes you sad but happy at the same time.
Yes.
definitely like relationships with family.
Mm-hmm.
Like all of my siblings, like they all know exactly where to hit it where it hurts.
Yeah. Yeah.
But some of my happiest moments are with all of us just like bullshitting.
Yeah.
Singing in the car. Okay, let's see. Okay, how do you select the gorgeous guests and topics? I feel like that's going to change next season.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Well, topics, I'll let you guys know. We go into the episode with an idea, and about 90% of the time, that idea does not go through because the conversation changes.
Yeah, we're like,
and we like it like that.
Yeah,
it's like setting a sail, and then you find out the wind is totally dragging you towards not your destination. But yeah. Well, we usually tell our guests that we want this episode to be as much theirs as it is ours. And anything that they want to share on our platform is, like, welcome. And we usually ask our guests to talk about something that they're passionate about or something that they want to express. But I think the one thing that that helps us, like, decide who to feature is...
Honestly, it's just like, who do we know right now that we think is doing cool shit?
Yeah. And like Jelaine and I said in the really beginning, we're very selfish and we started this podcast to learn. So we invite people we want to learn from. Or people we admire.
Yeah.
Like Jilly's confidence, man. Right before like when Gigi was just a thought, I was like, I want her.
Yeah.
Because she just radiates confidence. Shanice just radiates like this badassness.
All of them have been,
every single person we've had
has been super inspiring and admirable. Mm-hmm. And just like, yeah, such an honor to talk to every single one.
Yeah. And it makes me happy when they're like, man, I haven't shared this to anyone really, and they shared it on our platform for so many people to hear, you know, and listen to.
Yeah, it's really, honestly, and also the letters have been one of my favorite parts.
Yes.
Just seeing how, because we don't give prompts, we don't give any sort of direction. We're just like, you just got to write a letter to the next guest. And just like every episode, it's just like, oh my God, each letter is like, I want to cry. Just because I can't believe how much love is put into each.
Wow. It's like handcrafted, like purely just like their words and emotions.
And what's beautiful is like they're not, you know, we don't tell anyone like, okay, this is specifically for this person and she does this with her life and she's this way. We don't, so I mean, these letters are literally for everyone, you know.
Yes.
And especially like in a society or a culture that tends to encourage women to be competitive and spiteful towards each other, or insecure about their own bodies, therefore mean to other women, you know what I mean, that might be killing it or whatever. It's so refreshing to read how much love comes out of this if they just know it's just going to a random person, a random woman. It's been nice. Okay. If you each were on the gorgeous guest side of the conversation, what would your episode be titled?
Ooh.
Oh, I don't know.
I think we're actually going to do that season two. We're going to interview each
other.
Have
our own episodes?
Yeah.
We've talked about it, but I wasn't sure.
In due time.
I wasn't sure.
Maybe titled?
Wait, let's just... Okay, so yours would be titled... Let's just title each other.
Oh, gosh.
Okay, yours would be titled...
I got yours.
Life is like a box of Fig Newtons.
Oh, my God. Really? Are we revisiting this Fig Newton thing?
But you know what? If you don't like Fig Newtons, just throw that shit in the trash and keep going.
Long ass title. Keep trekking on. Huh, I could do that. One of yours.
I kept it broad.
Chicken wings and yoga themes. Ranch on the side, that's all mine.
Speaking of yoga, one of my really good friends was like, you know how like you read a person and you try to figure out what about their life doesn't match who they are? And I was like, yeah. And she was like, yoga does not match you at all. I was like, thanks.
What?
That's why I need it.
Oh, man. So, guys, like when we first started Dear Gorgeous, I think this is like one of the first times like Jelena and I went to an actual like bar, right? So since she's like yoga, I'm totally gonna throw a stereotype here. I thought she would just only eat like greens, just veggies. She's on this like, I don't know, like diet. She drinks kombucha. This bitch is like, oh, can I get a beer and 12 pieces of your chicken wings? And I was like, oh shit, this girl eats. I could do that.
You know what, though? It's, listen, my family, that's how you show love. That's how you show love. Like, my dad, the way he showed love to us was he cooked and very often would be asleep in the middle of the night, and I would have, like, a spoon shoved in my face. Like,
oh, that's
half asleep
so cute.
And be like, Jelena, wake up. Try this. And it's, like, some random snack he, like, you know.
Yeah.
Brought together and...
That was super cute.
Anyways, so I actually, it's really funny because me and my siblings were talking about this recently about how, because I got my appendix removed when I was 18.
What?
Yeah. Or maybe 19. They had already moved back to Guam. But apparently, like, my dad used me as an example, like, their whole life. Like, if they ever wanted to, like, eat a bunch of junk food, they'd be like, better watch out because you're going to be like your sister. You're going to get your appendix removed. And I'm just like, this is... So much about this is fucked up.
Yeah.
Because one, they don't see me on a regular basis because
yeah.
I don't fucking live here.
Yeah.
But two, I got my eating habits from you. So you're getting mad at me, or you're using me as an example for like a bad diet, but like you were the one who woke me up in the middle of the night
yeah.
to eat fucking strawberries and cream and like random batches of cereal. Like,
yeah.
Sorry, I had to air that out. But...
Oh, man. Yeah. So funny.
That's good. Chicken wings and yoga things.
Ranch
on the
side.
All of our titles
had
something to do with food, though.
Yeah, they were always eating.
Okay, so next question. What effect has the first season had on your lives, if any? And how is life different now that season one is over? Honestly, I think I'm going to be a little depressed.
Oh, yeah.
Like, not having the grind. But we do have a bunch of stuff that we want to work on.
Yes. Bunch of stuff. And also, I think with this break, you and I are kind of, like, learning how to separate work and leisure. Work
I
and
guess.
Breaks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because a lot of times when we hang out, we end up talking about DJ, which isn't a bad thing, but also progressing forward in this business and
yeah.
this platform. Things are just going to get a little bit more crazier. We're going to start launching like different projects, different products, all these things. And I think it's best to have this foundation where we could separate the two and know when we need to take care of our mental health and also work on our personal relationship. Not just like this
yeah.
business relationship, but this friendship that we formed.
Yeah, like every time you talk about me to somebody else, the first thing that comes out of your mouth is, oh yeah, I'm with my business partner. Dude, we're at Mosa's having a beer. Has nothing to do with your gorgeous. Yeah, you know, I'm just hanging out with my business partner.
Well, I was going to say partner, but they might think, like, we're together. So
just
how's it?
My friend.
Even with Julius, too.
I'm with
I was
my
like,
friend.
I'm with my
we're having, we're
partner.
Doing friend things.
Friend things. But yeah, how has DG helped you?
Is that, sorry, I forgot the question. Oh, what effect has the first season had on your lives? I think, I mean, we touched on it a little bit, like, when we're
yeah.
talking about evolution and all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't give a fuck anymore about, like, what anyone has to say about my identity outside of the healthy giving a fuck. Like, yeah. You need to care to a certain degree, but after a while, after so much caring, you're just like, like, cut that shit off. Yeah. And then also just like confidence-wise, just like, you know, when we started, I like all of a sudden had, you know, the balls to like finally start my website and put up my yoga schedule and start writing and start blogging. It was just like a bunch of stuff that it opened up for me.
Yeah. Ooh, I went through like these dips and shifts in between.
I thought you were gonna. Sorry, go ahead. I went through these.
What
dip
now?
These
what
dips
now?
And shits.
yeah, like these dips and shifts. So, I started the episode, or I started DG, like nervous, first time talking for like hours at a time. Right, and putting our stuff out there, and then I got more confident in speaking on the microphone.
Yes.
And halfway through the season, I lost that confidence, and I was just like freaking out about how I see things. I never told this to you, but I got very self conscious being on the mic.
Wow.
Like for 3 or 4 episodes. Yeah, I think because I was also I had to separate the two, right? Because you're such an eloquent speaker, like you,
so are you.
Yourself. But you are such an eloquent speaker that I felt I was like, okay, how am I coming off? Like, I feel like I was coming off as this little 8-year-old kid that just like word vomits my thoughts and ideas without formulating sentences. So
wow.
I had to.
That's crazy how it happened. Like after a few episodes,
it happened mid-season.
Do you think it had to do with...
After we hit double digits.
It really reminds me of when you were talking about writing your articles.
Mm-hmm.
Having those two articles that published.
Yes.
Did you talk about that, actually, during the season? I feel like you did. No?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Just to recap, I published on Elite Daily and Thought Catalog, and I had 3 articles total, and I never published after that because of the fear...
But, like, talk about how successful those articles were, though.
Oh, man. I don't know. And they were on Elite Daily.
I mean, it was a lot of...
Yeah.
It was a lot of traction, I feel like.
Yeah. Or my life hack one.
Yeah.
So, I think taking those two experiences, then I started writing for Life Hack, and my first article generated 10,000 views in 1 month. And it averaged a readership time of like 3 minutes and 20 seconds. So my editor messaged me and was like, this is pretty impressive stats. So I kept it for my record, but I just have this fear of like,
is it a
shit
fear
going viral?
Like, unpack that a little bit because I feel like that's a fear of being seen.
Yes, I think so.
A fear of vulnerability, of being criticized and.
I think it's like all of that.
Yeah.
All of that.
So how did you get over that?
Well, I kind of sat with it, you know, 4 episodes. I felt like that. And I just sat with it. And then I just realized that it's a law of convincing. And I think what changed everything was, or at least like came full circle, Lola's episode. And it's weird because I work side by side with Lola.
Yeah.
And, you know, she just, like, radiates this, like, confidence. And when we asked her, have you ever questioned your identity? She goes, never.
She's like, no.
Never.
No, when she was like, oh, what did I ask her? Oh, how do you keep this sense of humor? She's like, I don't know. Just live, I guess. And then she laughed. I was like, oh, my God. Like, I'm missing something.
Yeah. And I think that just, like, basically... was the eye opener. It's like, hey, don't question yourself.
Stop
the people
caring so much, right?
The people that we have on the show, they made a lot of life changing, or basically, like their life changing decisions were. It's like, oh, I thought about it for 2 minutes, and I decided to become pro triathlete.
Oh,
I decided to get married.
A lot of it is just like, I don't know, I just did it. I don't know, I just did it.
Yeah,
and like, there's so many things that. I don't know. I just, it's so easy to just be like,
get in your head.
Yeah, it's too hard to do this X, Y, and Z.
Yep.
Yeah, dude, that's crazy. I mean, it's a legitimate thing, and I don't think it ever goes away. Like, mm-hmm. I'll still just wake up one day and be like, oh my God, like, that's out there. I kind of want to take it down.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think also, too, which is something that Lola really opened my eyes to, is like this idea of like how being so self-conscious about how people perceive you, I don't think it has like, isn't narcissistic in its own, like on its own inherently, but it could turn into narcissistic tendencies, I feel like.
Yes.
Because then you get like obsessed with the idea of people accepting you or whatever, you know what I mean? And, there's one side of that that's like, okay, if you're really challenging things, then you're gonna have people who don't agree with you.
Yeah.
Just because people fear things that they either don't agree with or don't understand. Mm-hmm. But then also, I don't know. It's like, if you really cared 100% about how people were gonna perceive you or judge you or whatever, like, you would never get anything done.
Yeah,
literally not do anything.
Exactly. And I'm glad that we threw that thought out the window really early in the season.
I don't know. Honestly, okay, so this is one of the first things that I've done in my life where I've actually been able to do that without thinking about it too much.
Mm-hmm.
And everything else that I've done, I've always been like, you know, like, and I don't know, because it just makes me think about like, okay, not even just like putting away that like care about people, you know, and what people think, but also like, are you doing something that really resonates with you? Like, and I feel like it's so much easier to not care that much about what everybody says if you're actually doing something that you believe in or you. And then also it helped to get like random DMs and be like, hey, like, I listened to this episode and what you said really spoke to me.
Yeah.
Or so-and-so's letter, I cried when, you know, your guest was reading so-and-so's letter because it was like something I needed to hear. Like, you realize like we're not doing this for the sake of just like, I don't know, putting content out. We're like literally doing this because is actually connecting people that need to be connected through it, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And man, what got me was that Tamar and Manami, they messaged each other after we recorded Tamar's episode.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, so they ended up just messaging each other and connecting on their own. Yeah, because I think they were back to back.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's Manami and then Tamar.
That's so awesome.
Yeah. I thought that was really beautiful.
Aww.
Do we have time for one more?
Let's see. In the words of DJ Khaled, another one.
Another one.
Wait, sorry. That's because she had multiple questions. Any future plans for forums or community events where the fans can interact with y'all on a one-to-one level? The fans? That's funny. You mean our fans?
Our friends?
Our family?
Yeah, events.
Yeah, we have a bunch of stuff we want to do.
Yes. Lots of stuff.
Yeah, no, we have like dreams of putting on workshops, connecting the guests.
Mm-hmm. Even just like a cocktail night.
Yeah.
We
can sit down and actually have conversations about some of these things with you guys.
Yeah.
We definitely, for season two, definitely want it to be a little bit more interactive.
Oh, yeah, for sure, for sure. Yeah, so we're brewing up a lot of good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be launching again in 2020.
Yeah, probably early February.
Early February.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that about wraps up?
I think so.
Our last Q&A session for season one. I'd like to thank all of you guys. You guys are awesome. And we love you. And thank you so much for taking the time to like listen. Message us if you have any ideas that you'd like to share with us for season 2. You can find us on Apple Music, Anchor, Spotify. We'll be checking our IG and Facebook.
All the time.
So
yeah. I mean, we won't disappear from social media. We have a bunch of stuff we want to work on, and we're doing a whole rebrand and everything. So we'll be around. And yes, we love you guys. We'll be back.
We'll be back next 2020. 2020.
All right.
Bye.